So last week, we learned what I thought was one of the really more remarkable and, you know, almost surprising pieces that we had seen in a long time, a really incredible piece, all about the importance of being friendly, having Hazrach HaShemesh, that when you see people, you're smiling, there's a certain light, a certain sunlight, if you will, a certain shine that comes through, and how that has the power to impact people, and it's really an important part of your Avodas Hashem. Really, it was a very interesting idea that you don't necessarily expect from a Mussar Sefer. So, picking up where he left off, he says as follows. And again, just to remind us in the context that we've been doing for a while, this whole Shar is all about, so to speak, getting to know yourself, going inside yourself, and the more you know yourself, then we saw all sorts of remarkable things along that journey, but as we're digging deeper, so his point is his whole premise then was there's this beautiful, wonderful light that, so to speak, inside of us, and we can share that with, you know, our smile, with what's on our face, and how we relate to other people. So in that vein, he says, picking up in this first sentence of this new chapter, exactly where he left off. He says, Me'or Pnei Ha'adam, Ho'otzer Godol Shachanina, Hatava Va'osher, as we saw last week, that just that light that can radiate from a friendly face is really, you know, it's like a treasure chest of all sorts of good things, of kindness and of happiness. And again, this is like Hazrach HaShemesh, this, this rising sun, this beautiful sun, so to speak, to somebody else. It's shining the sun on somebody else. However, he says, it's not only that. This, so to speak, this treasure that he says is inside all of us. Again, you know, we're certainly in the American tradition, we're familiar with the idea of, you know, people, you know, digging for gold and the prospectors, and of course, obviously a big thing other than in this country is digging for oil. Right? So his point was, if you're digging deep inside of you, this has been the whole purpose of Shar Shlishi, is getting inside of yourself, getting to know yourself better, so you're going to hit a treasure. And that treasure was this light of the neshama, which again, he was talking from a Ben-Am L'Chavero, if you will, perspective last week, how if you let that out a little bit with your smile, with your friendliness, with your openness, you know, what that can do for somebody. So he says, this otzer, this treasure chest, doesn't just have a light that's just friendly and warm and inviting, but also has enormous amounts of wisdom in it, in this treasure chest. Again, that's the topic of today's shir. Ma'inot ha'chachma t'munim ba'otzer zeh. You also have unlimited amounts of wisdom that are buried within this treasure that's inside of you as well. And therefore, this next paragraph is really a very interesting one, and it's really the pivot upon the rest of the chapter. He says, what does it mean to have das? Right? What is das? Right? It's a term we use all the time, and we know that there are different synonyms for wisdom. Chachma, Bina, Das. Sochabad has their way of understanding it, and others do as well. He wants to know, what is das? What is the definition of das? And he shares a few different ideas, and then he's going to try to synthesize all of them together. The first opinion he says is Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos, Paragimel Mishnah Yedzayin. That's one of those Mishnayos that does speak about the different that uses different synonymous terms. It's the same Mishnah that says if there's no Derech Eretz, there's no Torah. There's no Torah, there's no Derech Eretz. But also talks about Das as one of the things a person needs to have in that Mishnah. And on that Mishnah says Rabbeinu Yonah, you know what Das is? He masha masig ma'atzmo. That's the kind of stuff you can think about on your own. Right? There's all sorts of wisdom you don't find in books, but it's the kind of, or you don't necessarily need a book. It's the kind of thing that if you thought about it enough, if you were creative enough, you could think of it on your own. That's called das. Okay, that's one opinion. The Gra, he says, has a different opinion. In his commentary to the Siddur, the Gra says, what is das? Muskolos harishonim. Your first thoughts about something. Right? You might go deeper, you might go further, but a first thought, your initial insights into something, muskolos rishonim. And then, more surprisingly, in Parshas Kitisa, a third opinion, Rashi there says, what is das? Ruach HaKodesh. Having some kind of divine inspiration. So, in light of these three, says Rav Volbi, at the end of that paragraph, L'cha'ora, ha'perushim rechokim zeh mizeh. Right? It seems like a very extreme machloket. Rabbeinu Yonah on one extreme, oh, this is just something you think of on your own. Not even a first draft. You know, it's a pre-draft. It's your outline before you even wrote your first draft, if you will, of whatever it is you're thinking about. And on the other extreme, you got Rashi about Ruach HaKodesh. So says Rav Volbi, that would be a mistake. Ulam, in fact, Nekudas Hadasi Kepeir Rabbeinu Yonah. Says the correct pshat, the real pshat, the essence is Rabbeinu Yonah. Mashamasig Mida'ato. That das refers to something that a person doesn't have to go look for on the outside. It's a certain wisdom that we all have inside of us. Ubazeh, but what you can fill out with Rashi and the Gra is, Yesh Madregos Rabos. Hachami Muskolas Harishonim on the one hand, Vekala Baruch HaKodesh on the other hand. How far, how great is the range of possibility of things that a person can acquire? What levels of wisdom can a person reach just hypothetically, just by being in touch with oneself, by being self-reflective, by being thoughtful, by looking inside oneself, not in a book, not on a YouTube video, not at a TED talk, but looking inside oneself for a certain level of wisdom? You can, it could be as minimal as, you know, basic ideas. Let's call it my first thoughts of something. And then hypothetically, you could develop it to such a level that you could even, just by looking inward, reach Ruach HaKodesh. And now he takes, them one at a time. Muskolos HaRishonim, next paragraph. Adam Yodea Mi'atzmo, Li She'il Meduhu. This idea of initial thoughts, not even the most well-formed, not refined, not my last draft that I hand out to the, that I give into the publisher, but my initial thoughts on something. Because those are things which, if you actually aren't lazy, you can actually come up with on your own. Al Kagon Eila Amru Chazal. And about this, he says, this is a very famous teaching. We've used it in the past, and people have used it in other contexts. But it's a very, very harsh teaching of the Medrash. Kol Taman Chacham She'en Bodea Nevela Tova Himenu. Right? That there could be such a thing as a Taman Chacham who has no Das. Right? So, I'm part of the Rabbi Defense Club. I don't like to, pile up on rabbis. We have enough enemies. You don't need other rabbis to join. But if you ever felt that there was a rabbi who you met or you heard about or you heard a shir of or you heard a quote of, they seemed to know lots of Torah but didn't seem to have any das, you might be right. There is such a thing. Is that impossible? It might be that you're just being, a mechutzef. It's possible too. But it's also possible that you're right. The Medrash says there's such a possibility. Knowledge, information, lots of information and das are not the same thing. You can be a Talmid Chacham she'ein bodeya. And that's a terrible thing, says the Medrash. Right? Because with all that Torah that a person has, if you don't have Deah, you can actually be very destructive. Right? I think we've mentioned that I've used this mushal, in the past. Hypothetically, if you drank too much orange juice, you could get really sick. If you just drank and drank and drank milk, you could get very sick. I think that's one of the fraternity pledge things they make people do. You have to drink milk until you throw up or something like that, right? You can get sick from almost anything. But there's no warning label on milk. There's no warning label on orange juice. There's a warning label on Tylenol. Right? Because only certain things that are really, really... Anything can be abused, but it's the really powerful things that are dangerous. So if Tylenol has a warning label, certainly Torah needs a warning label. Right? The more Torah the wrong person has, the more dangerous it can be. And that's what this Medrash is saying. Somebody who has no Deah, but they have lots of Torah, an animal carcass is better than that. Because that person is going to do terrible, terrible things with his unrefined Torah. And how do we know this? That there is such a possibility? Again, not that Moshe was bad. I mean, how do we know that a person has to have Das, and Das is like a most basic thing that a person should be able to do on their own, and that's a requirement? We see even Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the greatest of all prophets, he took us out of Egypt, and yet, nevertheless, Lo nichnas lefnai v'lefnim achekar lo shenamar v'yikra el Moshe v'yidaber. Right? If I had done this a few weeks ago, this could have been my drasha, right? 2 or 3 weeks ago, Parshas Vayikra, right? The whole Vayikra starts off with, this word, Vayikra el Moshe v'yidaber. And the Medrash there comments, despite the fact that he's, what do we read about in Shmos? Moshe taking us out of Egypt, getting us the Torah. If there was anybody who could have gone to the king, like Esther Hamalka, without being first invited, could have, walked in the house without knocking first, you would have thought it's Moshe. And yet, even Moshe understood that there was derech eretz, that you don't go to Hashem until he calls you. Hanhagas derech eretz pshuta, sh'adam chayev ladas me'atzmo. Who taught Moshe this? Is there a pasuk in Chumash that says, wait till Hashem calls you? So it says, Rav, what the Medrash is telling us is, there's a certain level of das that a person has to know on their own. U'bli muskos rishonim ke'ela ein adam. And if you don't even have that, Nevela tova hemenu. You're not even a human being. V'af nevela tova hemenu v'ein erech l'kochach maso. It wouldn't matter how much Torah you had. If you don't have the basic knowledge, the basic understanding of what is expected in decency, you're worth nothing. All that Torah you would have is worth nothing. Next paragraph. Har yesh l'adam koach l'hasig muskolos me'atzmo v'zuhidas. There are all sorts of insights that a person can come up with on his own, that's what we mean when we say das. Now, the next paragraph or two, or actually until the next three dots, will be a little bit more, I won't say esoteric, but now he's going to go, I think, at least for me, on this most basic level, you know, I think it's very, very powerful, actually, very, 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 very resonant, that there's a certain intuitive, you know, if you want to be philosophical about it, this is called natural law, right? That's the term that's used, right? This idea that there can be a certain morality, or in this case, maybe even you could say wisdom, that is so fundamental that it's, so to speak, embedded in nature. Therefore, you wouldn't necessarily have needed a revelation. You wouldn't have needed a Maamar Har Sinai in order to know it. Right, and therefore you might be expected to have known, right? So even some of Farshim say, you know, how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu got upset at Cain? He hadn't given, how did he know Lo Tirtzach? How did he know he couldn't kill his brother? The answer is no. Maybe, you know, when the Pasuk says, you know, the blood of your brother is calling from the earth. So I think it's the Or HaChaim, if I'm not mistaken, who says that's a metaphor. I mean, the blood might have literally been soaked to the earth, but it also meant that from the earth itself, in the most basics of creation, a person has to know, right? The Dor HaMabul, how are they supposed to know? The answer is there's certain, it's a big Christian idea, but you see that there's all sorts of reflections of this in the Torah. A question, which was not our topic at all today, but a lot of people, including Rav Lichtenstein, you know, 40 plus years ago, or who knows how many years ago, wrote a very famous article about, and others have, which is, A, does Yiddishkeit accept such an idea, which I think clearly some thinkers do, maybe even Chazal. Then the question is, well, what's the value of that once we have a Torah? If we had never had a revelation, you would have had to know X and Y. Okay, but we did have a revelation. So is it still relevant in Lamai Nafkamina? Okay, that's one direction you could go in. Ravolbi's not going in that whole direction, but his point is, that at least he would say, there is some Musar, Nafkamina, which is that even though there is a revelation, but there are certain things that a person has to know even without it. And, you know, missing that day in class wouldn't be an excuse, because you needed to have known anyway. That's on the most basic level. I find that, you know, how much information, how many things you could accomplish on your own if you really thought about things in a more thoughtful way, I don't know. But, like, that's very resonant to me. He's now going to try to show that we could even be more ambitious than just these more basic things. And that was this idea from Rashi of Ruach HaKodesh. He says, Amadregesh HaLyona Bazeh Hi Ruach HaKodesh. And this is, quoting a Medrash in Tanchuma, what he elaborates on when they ask, apparently there's a Medrash that says, they asked Avram Avinu, Mehecha Laman Avram Avinu Torah. Right, we have all these midrashim about the avos knowing things. Well, where did they know it? So the Medrash gives the obvious answer. Me'atzmo lamad Torah. He figured it out on his own. So it says Rav Olbi, Hagab atzmacha, Eiz hazrachah shemesh hiba'adam, Shecha lumod kal Torah kula me'atzma, Ma'enos chachma, Kabirim temunim ba'adam atzmo, Hi aras hapanim gedola mizu. So says Rav Olbi, again, on the highest of levels, I don't know if this means every one of us, but at least potentially to understand that this is not just some, like, very, very low level thing that only, you know, that can exist only in, you know, in the original model, if you will, version one. But the highest form of this innate intelligence that a person could have, hypothetically at least, you could be like an Avram Avinu and figure out the whole Torah without, not just, you know, basic Derech Eretz you could figure out on your own, or don't kill you could figure out on your own. In theory, it sounds like a person could, in the extreme, go that far. Look at the bottom of the page now. Vimtim Salomer, now you ask the question which I already alluded to, which we're all obviously thinking, Ma lanu l'Avram Avinu. Okay, Shkoyach, you've told me that there are superheroes out there. That over this century, you know, Superman could fly, and Avram Avinu could figure out the Torah without being learned. Shkoyach. Okay? But I have as much relevance to Avram Avinu figuring out the Torah as to Superman flying. Right? Well, it's nice to know, but what does that have to do with me? Hava nira davar nifla, he says. He turns our attention to, and the next page, a Gemara in Chagiga, Yud Aleph Amud Bet. Says the Gemara, Ein darshin b'merkava b'yachid, elim kein hayachacham u'meimid midaito. So, says the Gemara there, you shouldn't be teaching the Maisa Merkava, which is, you know, the esoteric interpretations of the Nevuos of Yecheskel, and this is some of the greatest mysticism in Jewish tradition. You shouldn't be teaching that to an individual unless he is super duper smart and he could have figured it out on his own. Right? It's a little bit of a circular thing, but we'll get to that in a second. And then if you dap him later in the same Masechet, in Chagiga Daf Gimel, it says, well, okay, well, you can't really teach my Simar Kava to such a person if he's not on that level, but you can teach Roshe Prakim. You can give over the basics. You know, you don't get into all the fine details, but the basics you could teach. That's in the Gemara. So says Rav Olbi, What's the Gemara talking about? There are certain people that you could teach them Ma'aseh Merkava if they could have figured it out on their own. Who could have figured this out on their own? I feel a baki b'shas. Heich yachol lahavin midaito sodas haTorah. Imrak mosrim lo rashi prakim. Or, you know, you could just give them the basics, they'll figure out the rest. Who could do such a thing? How is that possible? Ze yisod hadas, says Rav Volvi. You see from this, shehi mevina me'atzmo. Hamaskil yodea ki arayom azeh harotz lahavin dvar Torah al borio tzrachlomo Torah miatzmo lahavin midato berov hisbonanut v'ha'amaka. So he says, you see something really amazing. The Gemara there wasn't. Now the Gemara there might have been talking about people on the highest level, but you don't have to be an Avram Avinu. You should realize that potentially, there is, you know, there's a muscle, so to speak, inside of us, the neshama. There's a thing inside of us which, if we would really, really use it to its fullest, if we would really refine it, you know, to the greatest degree, then any one of us could be the kind of person who could figure out the Ma'aseh Merkava on our own, or could figure out the Ma'aseh Merkava at least with basic Rashi Prakim. That is exactly what it's trying to say. There, again, the average person might be very, very far away from that, but that's just a question of degree, not of kind. There is something inside every one of us that at least theoretically could get all the way there. He says, this is in the famous Sefer HaYashar, which is like a Musar book, usually attributed to Rabbeinu Tam, going back to the Rishonim. Im titasek lachshov b'inyanei ha'borei yizbarach, tosif maila, right? He's encouraging people to think on their own, not just to look to books. V'im tia yodas atzma tachbil ma'alasa kamapam. And the more you, so to speak, know yourself, the more you look to yourself for wisdom, the more you really could grow exponentially. Ki bedaita atzma yodat hadet kulan. Because really, really, inside of you, you know everything. Ki kol adeos nechlos batozuch hanefesh. It's a remarkable thing. It's reminiscent, this is not exactly what he's saying, but it's parallel to a tradition that we have, you know, with the Gemara about how the Malach teaches you, you know, all the Torah before you're born. So we don't, well, by the time we are born, we don't remember it anymore. But it's already inside of us. There's all the wisdom we would ever need, all the wisdom maybe that there ever was, is actually already inside of us. If we could just access it, to whatever extent, when you have an idea, so to speak, on your own, well, how did you know that? Your parents told you, you read it in a book, a Rebbe told you. No, it just makes sense to me. So sometimes you say shtuyot. But if you actually thought of something and it was correct, well, where did you get it? How did you get that? So the answer, if you want to put this together with the Sefer HaYashar, is no, that's the point. There's something inside of you. There's a neshama that has a certain level of das. Again, you could say all this without connecting it to the idea of the Malach, but I think it actually works very, very nicely with the Malach. And this idea that Rav Volvi is trying to describe, let's just read the last paragraph, then I'll add one more thing. So it says Rav Volvi, kind of summarizing all this, Ma nifla koach zeshel aris panim ba'adam. This idea that there is, again, he's picking up on the language from last week's chapter, that if you look inside of yourself, there's a certain light that comes out, which is happy, which is positive. That same light is not just the benam lachavero, you can be the friendly person who's makdim shalom lachavero, as we saw last week, and you're very friendly, and you bring light and joy to other people. Not only that, but that same thing that's inside of you that can be happy and bring light to other people, it can also be lefaneach ne'elamot b'chokhmah. It can reveal all sorts of wisdom that had been previously hidden. L'chonin chesed chanin l'bayim ha'mechitzaso. And then, of course, then you can share that with other people. V'zeh yisoro shel adam she'yitakin atzmo. Have to work on oneself, improve oneself, to the point that higia le'atzmo. Right? It's a very profound kind of riddle, if you will. Work on yourself to become yourself. This is an idea, again, I don't remember which chapter it was, but we definitely had an earlier chapter this year where he more or less said something like this, and it inspired me to quote, was it Da Vinci or one of the great artists or sculptors who, you know, they asked them, you know, how does he sculpt a whatever? And his answer was, he didn't sculpt it. It's already in the marble. He's just removing the stuff that's around it. He can see it, you know, and then he's just removed. So it's an unbelievable, it's kedai to find that actual quote. Not because anyone should be a sculptor, but because it's mamish. It's probably the best quote I can think of to describe at least this version of Musar that Rav Volvi clearly espouses. That all that stuff that you want, it's already there. You just have to know how to reveal it. It's already inside of you. And he's making this point as well. So I was reminded, especially since I mentioned previously the issue of the Malach, that I can't remember if I saw it written somewhere or I heard it from Rav Schechter maybe, but that Rav Soloveitchik used to say, you know, well, if I'm going to forget all the Torah, the Malach's going to give me a little potch. What was the point of him teaching me to begin with? And the answer he said was, because every bit of Torah you learn the rest of your life, it shouldn't feel like you discovered something new. It should be like you rediscovered something that had been lost. It's a different feeling. When if you ever sometimes, you know, 20 years later, you know, you and your wife go back to the same vacation place that you went to years ago, or you somehow go someplace, oh, that's where me and my family used to go for Pesach, right? There's a certain warm feeling to going back to something that, you know, you hadn't seen in a while, you hadn't thought about in a while, but it's part of who you were at a different stage of life. So really all Torah, you had all Torah, you already had all Torah. You're not looking for something outside of yourself. Right, there's something really deep and intimate, and it's very similar to what Rav Volbi is saying in this whole chapter, but especially in light of that Sefer Yashar. Let's do a little bit more, if we could. Let's finish the parak. So you look after the three dots, ukasher nefatech mayan. So if a person can really get there, right, you're prospecting, you're looking, right. I don't know how many times you have to dig into the ground, but every now and then you hit a geyser. Right? You found it. You found the mayan. You found something. You're able to get in touch with yourself. Omer al dato. Nevertheless, he says taram hushlama avodosa matzmo. That's not enough. Not enough. After all, koch kabir zeh shel ha'aris ha'ponim sheskal b'kirbo. Ketzed yishtamesh bo. L'an yifutzu mayonosav. How do you know how to use it? What do you do with all this potential you can tap into? So this avoda, it reminds us of a Zohar that we've quoted previously, that is quoted in the Hagdama of the Shev Shmaitza, and that is commenting on a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasukim say, if you see the quote there, shesei mayim mi borcha, you should drink water from the bore. We sometimes call it a pit, but I think technically that means a cistern. That means that there's no water that can come from it. You just put water in it and it holds it. Nozli mitoch be'ercha. And it can also kind of go forth from your spring. Yafutsu mayin esecha chutza. Your spring should go forth outward. Ubrachobos palge mayim. And these rivulets, these small streams, you know, should spread out in, you know, from the big mayan into the square. So what are we talking about here? So says the Zohar, apparently, this is a metaphor for the human experience. Zuhi tachlas aridas hanashama el toch guf ha'olam. This is a metaphor for what is supposed to be the purpose of the journey of the neshama. Shesham, before you're born, when the neshama is up in shamayim, hi ach bebechinas bor. All it is a cistern. That is to say, memalin oso, you can fill it up, but umitzar atzma rekahi. It has nothing inside of it itself. Itself is an empty cistern. Rakan. But only when the neshama comes down to this world, then by filling it up, not with just some supernal light, but with Torah and mitzvos, then we can actually not just fill up the cistern, we can turn the cistern into a well, a natural water well. Ma'ayin ha-mizgaber, which itself is producing and releasing running water. Kasher yafutsu ha-mayinos, when chavim can spread out who knows how far. That the goal of life is to take this thing, which right now is just a kli kibul, and to turn it into its own source of light.
This is the mishnah stick of Chassidus, especially with this pasuk. This is the Oshentum.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. So now the next pasuk there in that same group of Mishlei says, "Yu lecha levadecha ve'en lezarim itach." Right, you have to be really for yourself. There shouldn't be any outsiders or foreigners. What does that mean? So look what he says there. This we'll finish up going back to the next page now. Chazal megalim lanu b'chachmas Shlomo HaMelech. That is to say, what is the purpose of all this chachma? This is a very important piece in its own right. So the Medrash says that he quotes from the Yalkut that Hashem says to Shlomo, all that chachma I'm giving you, it's like the chol asher al svas hayam, like the sand of on the beach. So sounds like it just means that Shlomo HaMelech had a lot of chachma. But Rabbi Levi says, no, just like the sand, the beach, gader liyam, right, it is what holds the water in place. It can't go further than the beach. Achachmaso gader l'shlomo. The chachma was there to be a gader for Shlomo. What do you see from this? Kachachmaso ha'adira shimshel l'shlomo l'gader atzmo. Right, knowledge is not for knowledge's sake. Right, as he says in the next line. L'chora chachma hi tachlas atzmo. You would have thought, knowledge for knowledge's sake. Hakoteret ba'adam. That's the highest crowning achievement of a person. Hinei dasa Torah einakach. But we don't feel that way. B'tocha chachma fa'afatzas mayonos. Mukhrach adam shuv la'agia El Atzmo, which is like something I mentioned before, this kind of riddle, this is a profound riddle. From all of that knowledge coming out of you, you have to, so to speak, get to yourself, find yourself. As the Pasuk in Mishlei, we just quote, Yilucha levadecha. Use all that Torah to get to know yourself better, to be truer to yourself. Kochach maso teshamish lo gader bifnei zarut. And to keep out the zar, keep out the interloper, keep out the stranger. Ein lezar mitach, as the Pasuk said. Bal yihi lefro chach maso lemadbeya katan shal redifas kavod ubetza ketzaf. Ki oz shuv tipol lidei zarem shem osam kochos hazaros sh'aydei richukam galea chachma. He says there's all sorts of other people, right? He says don't sell that great wisdom that you have, so to speak, that knowledge, that development, don't sell it for pennies on the dollar, in essence. What does he mean by that? If you take this development, this fully formed part of yourself, and you use all of that for what? To achieve a lot of kavod in this world, or a lot of wealth in this world. In essence, you took something you could have used for who knows how much, and you're selling it for pennies on the dollar. That's, so to speak, looking for outside, bizarre, external, strange, foreign, you know, gods, if you will, and saying, no, I'm going to use this chokmah that I understand I have inside myself, this power, for that. No, he says, you have to try to use it to help guide you to become the better person, to become closer to the neshama that's really inside of you, become closer to yourself. And we'll just end with this one last thing from the last paragraph here. The Gemara Chagiga says, you know, very important cautionary tale. To become a chacham, again, which we're now saying is not only learning the Torah in the books, but so to speak, even in the Torah of your neshama, it's as hard as becoming a millionaire. It's as hard as getting kli kesa, kli zahav. And yet it's as easy to lose as dropping a glass thing. Right? Anyone, you drop a glass bowl, it'll crack in a second. It doesn't take much effort. But to mine the gold, very, very hard. To get the Torah is easy. Excuse me, is brutal. To lose it is very easy. You have to be so careful. And yet he still has to be so careful, even more careful. And here's the money quote. The whole purpose of all this wisdom is, so to speak, keep the foreign things out so you can become truer to yourself. Okay, and he ends off with the famous Yerushalmi, which is relating to the bracha of Chonei Nadas, and why Atachonatanu Havdallah is in that bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. Kemein Das, Havdallah Minayin. Havdas is the ability to be able to differentiate. A person who can't differentiate, a person who thinks that all killing is the same. What's the difference if it was intentional or an accident, right? That's a person who has no Das. Right? If they can't make Havdallah, then it means they have no Das. So here he's using it as a play on words that this das, the whole chapter was all about das, not the das of book knowledge, but the das that's already in our neshamas. But we have to use that to be able to, if we really acquired it, we'll know how to do havdalah. We'll be able to say, yeah, these are the ways we should use it, and these are the ways we shouldn't. So a little bit of a more of an esoteric piece, I think, than some of the others we've seen. But I think there are pieces in here that are very prosaic that are really, I think, relatable that we could really appreciate in terms of again not becoming all of a sudden, you know, in love with ourselves. I don't think that would be the point of this chapter. But realizing that there's something inside of us, not because we earned it, but because Hashem gave us a neshama, that there really is great spiritual and intellectual power inside of us, and a person has to really be thoughtful and think about those kind of things and hopefully draw those out to hopefully become a better person. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.